So today's gospel is about power. One of the three P's, pleasure, power, and possessions, which in and of themselves are not bad, but the desire for them can become warped and turned to sin. But before I address today's gospel and about power, I want to talk a little bit about possessions and specifically about the lottery. You know, the lottery today is valued at $1.6 billion. Not million, billion dollars. And it could grow larger. First of all, that's an unseemly amount of money for a game of chance. And I strongly believe, but I strongly believe there are 10 people, at least, in this assembly who have bought lottery tickets. Which is fine, by the way. But I'm neutral on this. I'm not neither telling you to do it, nor is the church condemning us, those of us who buy lottery tickets. Because otherwise, the Knights of Columbus would have been in trouble years ago, you know, if gambling was forbidden by the church, you know. But, you know, gambling has to be done responsibly, and the money used for gambling is not needed, you know, cannot be needed for other legitimate obligations. You know, those of you who bought tickets, those of us who bought tickets, or are contemplating buying tickets, I feel like moderately confident that one of the things we have said to ourselves is part of the justification of why we would bought the ticket, you know, that it's not all about us. You know, we say this to us, we could do such real good if we went out and won this lottery. We would be able to be generous to the church and generous to society, and all those things are good, you know. We may be even promised to God that we will do good with this money if only he'll grant it, you know. You know, so we say things like, oh, please, God, let me win the lottery. You know, please trust me to do things, good things with the money. So at this point, I have to tell you that yesterday when I brought this up, I had somebody come up to me and said it was at this point in the homily that I lost him. You know, because all he could think about is what he would do with that money. So I ask you to come back into the assembly, bring back, and listen to the rest of it. The rest of it's pretty serious about, you know, it's serious, you know, not so serious about whether we win the lottery or play it, you know, but today's gospel is very serious, and it points out some very interesting points about human nature, specifically our desire for power. You know, whether it's the power in the group, you know, the group one is aligned to, you know, in the case of the gospel today, it's the apostles, you know, or in our family, you know, how many of us thought about how today's story, at least at the beginning, reminded us of some family discussions we have had. When we tried, or one of our siblings tried, to gain favor from one or more of our parents, and what the reaction was to the other party when the favor was granted, reaction of the other party when the favor was granted. Oh, how we protested, how we complained how unfair it was that you gave them that and wouldn't give me this. You know, and in the gospel, James and John, two brothers, you know, can be seen almost as doing the similar thing, and predictably the other apostles protest. I'm not sure, but I can't help but thinking that when Jesus asked us to be like children of God, I'm not sure that's what he meant. I don't think he had this idea of us squabbling among ourselves, you know, trying to gain power within our groups. I suspect that the apostles, James and John, weren't thinking that they were being childish. I suspect they were thinking like some of us when we said to ourselves, when we bought the lottery ticket, we will do some good. You know, our act is well-intentioned, but we can't deny, if we're honest, there is definitely some self-centeredness in the act. But Jesus sets them and us straight. You know, first of all, do we really know what we're asking for? Do we really understand what we're asking for when we ask for power, as the apostles did? Is ambition what we think it is? You know, we're told that it's good to be ambitious, to pursue happiness, to pursue the three P's. But shouldn't true ambition be the pursuit of communion with God? And isn't that what Jesus is saying? he turns them away from the idea of power, you know, being at this hand or this hand, the right hand or the left hand, and he turns, you know, power in this life, and he turns and points them towards the spiritual ideas of the cup of salvation that is his blood and the wiping away of our sins in baptism. And then he turns us and them to true ambition, to what it truly means to be ambitious, which is to walk humbly with God as servant leaders and to be prepared to die to self as ransom for our sins, just as he died as ransom for us for our sins. Jesus asks us, each of us, individually, can you drink this cup? I say we can. We must actually drink this cup, but each in their own way. Henry Nouwen, in his book, Can You Drink This Cup?, says this: we have to live our life, not someone else's. We have to hold our own cup. We have to dare to say, this is my life, the life that has been given to me, and it is this life I have to live as well as I can. My life is unique. Nobody else will ever live my life. I have my own history, my own family, my own body, my own character, my own friends, my own way of thinking, speaking, and acting. Yes, I have my own life to live. No one else has the same challenge. I'm alone because I'm unique. Many people can help me to live my life, but after all is said and done, I have to make my own choices about how to live. Nouwen reminds us we exercise our individual power in the choice we make on how to live and who we listen to. But while our journey may be solitary or can be solitary, it has been traveled before. Not just the hundreds of millions of Christians who have gone before us, but by Jesus himself. For as it says in Hebrews today, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been similarly tested in every way, yet without sin. Nouwen also says in this book, spiritual greatness has nothing to do with being greater than others. It has everything to do with being as great as each of us can be. True sanctity, he says, is precisely drinking our own cup and trusting that by thus fully claiming our own irreplaceable journey, we can become a source of hope for many. Power can be defined as the possibility to have agency over the environment and the people around us. And based on that definition, what kind of power do we want? Do we want to lord over people, exercising worldly power to control them, to do our will? Or do we want the spiritual greatness Nouwen is talking about? Isn't that the real power we want? It's not the power we once thought we should want, and it's not the power we were taught to pursue, but we should pursue the power to bring Christ to others in our own unique way, to proclaim the gospel from our own unique vantage point. So as we walk in our own individual way, on our own paths, yoked with Jesus, we must be yoked with Jesus. We can find that through serving, using our time, talents, and treasure, that we can be that city on the hill, the light for others, to help them find their way.